Thank you, Father. The Lord's going to talk to us today.
Amen.
He already is, but He's going to talk to us further today. Amen. Thank God for that. I love it when He talks to us and helps us, because each word that He speaks to us is a word of help. It's a word of grace.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank You that You have given us authority over all the power, over all the works of the enemy. Thank You, Jesus, for delegating that authority unto us. Thank You, Father, for that. Thank You. Now, Master, in according to that delegated authority, we exercise that today. And in Jesus' name, we take authority over every demonic spirit that would try to come and hinder the flow and the move of the Spirit of God. I take authority in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, I bind you, and I cast you out of this place, and I command you to leave here and to never return. And I release in this place today the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of freedom. Hallelujah. 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 Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I decree and declare healed bodies. Bodies are healed just under the teaching of the word today. I declare that families are restored, relationships are restored just by the teaching of the word today. That changes and things are made in people's hearts and minds just by the teaching of the word today. Thank you, Father, for the supply of grace that comes through your word. Amen. So be it, so be it. Thank God. Well, turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to continue in our series on grace. Thank you, Lord, for great grace. He is here today. The Lord just isn't sitting on His throne dispensing grace to us. He is grace, which has been imparted into our spirits. If Jesus is in your heart, you are a born-again Christian. You are united with Christ. You are united with Him. Then you are united with His grace. Amen. We're not separated from that. Amen. Therefore, we aren't separated from the healer. We aren't separated from our provision. It's all right there because He's there. John chapter 1, verse 16 from the Amplified, it says, "For out of His fullness," thank God for His fullness, "out of His abundance we have all received, all had a share, and were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor." It just keeps going here. "And gift heaped upon gift." Yeah, that's me. I can see myself right there. What about you? Amen. "For while the law was given through Moses, grace unearned, undeserved favor, and spiritual blessing and truth came." Aren't you glad for that? Through Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. You know, the Lord has instructed us to keep grace on our hearts and grace on our minds all throughout this year, because He's teaching us grace, right?
Yes, amen.
This is an unprecedented year for us.
Yes.
Unprecedented favor is abounding in our midst.
Amen.
Oh, thank God.
Amen.
Now look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. I'm going to read this from the New Living. I kind of bounce all over the place where it comes to translations. So when you come to church, if you don't have an iPad or iPhone or some type of a smartphone with all the Bible on there, then you'd have to come with so many different Bibles just to read what I'm reading. Well, thank God for technology. They put it up there. Make it easy on you, I guess. Colossians chapter 2, 6, it says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him." Wow. That says a lot right there. "Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on him, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with faithfulness. Amen? You know, we've learned this and discovered this, and I'll say it again, that grace is a person, right? Who is grace? Jesus was grace personified. Amen? He was grace personified. He was grace come in the flesh for you and I. He was help coming for you and I. Amen? And so it says that to let our roots grow down into him. For our roots to grow down into him, it means that we could also look at it this way. Our roots are growing down into grace himself. Our roots are growing down into our help himself. And the further that our roots grow into him, the further that our roots grow into this help, the more that we'll be able to receive. Right? And our lives, it says, let your lives be built on him. So then our lives as new covenant believers, Christians, they should be built on him. They should be built on grace himself. Amen. Amen. You're here today, right? And then it says, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Amen? Now remember, John 1:17, it says that the law was given through Moses, but grace, unearned, undeserved favor, spiritual blessing, and truth came through Jesus Christ. Right? Amen? It is the truth that sets us free. Right? Let's keep going. I'm going to read Colossians again, but I'm going to read it down to the Living Bible. I love the way the Living Bible puts this. It says in verse 6, and now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Anybody ever read that before? It says, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. What's the purpose of a root growing down? To draw up that nourishment that it needs. The nutrients that it needs from the soil, right? The water, whatever else that it needs. And the deeper the roots grow, the more that we can draw up, right? Amen? Draw up nourishment from him, it says. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. Now we are growing in grace. Right? We are growing in grace. We're growing much in grace. And by doing so, we're receiving on different levels or higher levels than we have before. Right? We understand that when our roots grow down deep into the grace of God, and when we're growing in grace, then our receiving from him, it becomes far easier, right? Because then we begin to realize that we can't earn these things that he desires to do for us, because it's a free gift. Amen? Amen? Prosperity is a gift because he is prosperity. And he is in us. Now, grace isn't based on our worthiness. It's based on his worthiness, right? Because some of us in and of ourselves, we're not worth much. He's going to be honest with you. But with him, you're worth everything. Thank God for him. And so then these things, grace isn't based upon our worthiness. It's based upon his worthiness. And we discovered this last week, that there's a vast difference between new covenant life versus life under the old covenant, right? So let's turn to Romans chapter 3. I don't know how far we'll get in this today, but we'll see how far we go. Romans chapter 3, and let's read this out of the New Living Translation. How many of you are growing in grace? How many of these messages have really helped you? Amen. How many of your eyes have been open and your receiving has been? Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's see here. Romans chapter 3. Where do we want to start? There's so much in here. Let's just look at verse 19. We'll pick it up there. Romans 3:19, it says, obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Right? So we need to understand the difference between Old Covenant, New Covenant, law, and grace, right? Amen. And then in verse 21, it says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. Verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. That's the grace of God. Amen. Right? Verse 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved, notice that, kindness, declares that we are, what?
Righteous.
Amen. He did this, how? Through Christ Jesus, when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. You notice that? You have been freed from the penalty of sin, if you're a believer. Wages of sin is death, right? We have been freed from that penalty. Through the blood of Jesus, by the grace of God, and everything that comes along with sin. Amen? For God, what verse is that? 25. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. This is so powerful. Amen. We could preach every word of this, but I don't have time to preach every word of this. Go home and study this out and meditate on these verses. Can you do that? Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, it says, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on, what's it say?
Faith.
So we are made right with God. How? Through faith, it says, and not obeying the law. Oh, wow, that's freedom right there. Why is that? Keep on reading. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well, then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? What's it say? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. I remember this from our previous parts in this message, that we learned that Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, to abolish the law, but he came, I forget, one translation put it this way, it says, he came to fulfill its purpose. What was the purpose? To provide us a means to return to God.
Amen.
Amen. He climbed the ladder because we couldn't climb it. Just when we were going good, right? Doing really good. Having a good day, having a good week, hadn't messed up once, but then we miss a step. Then we fall right back down to the bottom. And we got to start all over again. Man, what a bummer. But Jesus, thank God, he didn't miss a step. Amen. He didn't miss a step at all. And then he reached down with his grace, with his hand of grace, and then he received us and said, come on, boys, I got this. Hold on to me. Amen. And then he pulled us up there with him and seated us together with him in heavenly places. Thank God for his grace. It really is amazing when you think about it. Amen. Grace did what we couldn't do. Now, we learned this last week. There's a vast difference between Old Covenant, the Old Covenant of Law, and New Covenant of Grace, right? Remember that from last week? We talked a bit about that. Law is deserved favor. How many of you like to get what you deserve? I don't like to get what I deserve. I like to get what I don't deserve. Because what I don't deserve is better than what I do deserve. And so then law is deserved favor. When you obey the commandments perfectly, you will be blessed. Right? You'll experience the blessing of God. But grace is undeserved favor. Unmerited, unearned favor. Jesus obeyed God perfectly. And so then we are blessed by his goodness and his obedience to the law. Amen? Now this is not an excuse for you to go out and live any old way you want to live. We talked about all of that already, right? So everybody should be cool with that, right? Amen? And so then, what is better? You think grace is better than the law? You think law is better than grace? Which would you rather have? Grace. Amen? I would much rather have grace. Now look over at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. From the Message, I'm going to read this. Romans 5, verse 20. Keeping grace on our hearts and minds all this year, aren't we? Growing in this. Romans 5, verse 20 from the Message, it says, all that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. Amen. Thank God for his aggressive forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Aggressive forgiveness, aggressive grace. Thank God for that. Now look over at Matthew chapter 6. These are all of our foundational texts here. I think our foundation just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as the further we get into this. But that's okay. You got your fingers all, you know, worked up. You should be able to look at all these verses. I break every rule they give you in Bible school. So I just want you to, I'm not under those rules. I make up my own as I go. Matthew 6, verse 33, amplified, it says, but seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom. And what? His righteousness. His right standing with God. His way of doing and being right. And then all these other things taken together will be given to you besides. So when we begin to understand his righteousness, his right standing with God, and begin to seek that, put that first in our lives, then all these other things that we try to seek in and of ourselves that we, you know, like a dog chasing his tail, we never seem to catch it. Round and round and round and round and round we go. But when we seek first the kingdom, seek first his righteousness and that right standing with God, his way of doing things, the way of grace, then all these other things are added to us. Oh, that's amazing to me. Isn't it, Dana? Amen? And so then with this revelation of righteousness, When this revelation begins to hit our spirits and renew our minds, our natural lives will be forever changed. Because then it begins to affect and change things on higher levels. It's just not, you know, the same day in, day out. We should be progressing. We should be growing every single day, right? Our natural lives should even be a progression as well. Now, Jesus then has fully forgiven the one who has accepted his grace. Forgiveness isn't something that's earned. There's nothing that you and I could ever do to earn the Master's forgiveness. It's something that is given as a gift. Amen. Amen. He never asked you to earn forgiveness. But under the law, We have to renew our minds to this. We have this misconstrued idea that forgiveness has to be earned, right? Where we could have to be good enough in order to get his forgiveness, right? But under the new covenant, we don't have to be. Forgiveness isn't earned. It is something that is given as a free gift to us, right? Well, if that being said, then, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again this morning. If we don't have to earn his forgiveness, then why is it that we try to make others earn our forgiveness? Amen. Well, if they would just do this and they would do that, and then if they would do this, and then I'll forgive them. No. Forgiveness should be a gift that we give to everybody. Well, they don't deserve it. Exactly. They don't deserve my forgiveness. May they burn in hell. Now, those are strong words. How many people have said things like that? I hope they burn in hell for that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Words like that should never, ever come out of a Christian mouth. Amen. We're not in the business of trying to send people to hell. We're trying to keep them from going there. Yes. So why is it when you get angry at somebody and, you know, you get out of the spirit and get over in the flesh and you all go to hell? Anybody to go to hell? Change your language. Tell them to go to heaven. They make you upset. You just go to heaven. That sounds way better to me. Yeah, but they don't deserve that. Exactly. Nobody in heaven today, outside of Jesus the Master, deserved it. Everybody that's there at this very moment, they didn't deserve it. Moses didn't deserve it. David, he sure didn't deserve it. Amen. Elijah, none of these people, they deserved it. But they're there today. Amen. Oh, his grace is amazing. Amen. So then man didn't earn the forgiveness that Jesus offered. If he did, then it wouldn't be by grace. It would be by works. So we can't earn forgiveness. Right? If we didn't earn our forgiveness, then we must not allow, you know, some of these other things and our actions and attitudes that we have toward others. We must continually keep our minds and keep our hearts and keep everything in check according to the word. Amen. The word of grace. So that we are more gracious then towards others. And more loving towards others. More allowing towards others. Amen. Grace enables man to receive the Lord's fullness. That's what it's about. You cannot receive of the Lord's fullness without his grace. We need help. Amen. Amen. Because he's so full of everything that he's full of. And we can't receive of all of that without his grace. Amen. But he wants us to. That's the whole key here. He wants us to. Let's go back to Colossians. Colossians 2, but I'm going to read this out of the message. I'll pick it up in verse 11. Colossians 2, verse 11. We're growing. Say it with me. I'm growing. I'm growing in grace. Therefore, I am growing in my receiving. It means we're growing in prosperity. Right? Growing in healing. People being healed today just by the teaching of the word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. Insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism, going under the water. It was a burial of your old life coming up. Out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. Amen. Oh, these are so powerful. So very, very powerful. Have you ever felt like that God's angry at you? Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? You do something wrong, do something bad, well, God's got to be angry at me. You know, he's, you know. Raise your hand, be honest. The rest of you, wow, I wish I could be like you. But I felt that way before. But here's something that we must settle once and for all, and that's the fact that God isn't angry at you. Amen. He's joyful at you. He's gracious toward you. He's kind toward you. He's not angry at you. Even when you screw up, he's not angry at you. When we understand this new covenant of grace, we understand that God's wrath, I'm talking concerning a Christian here now. We understand that God's wrath against our sin, it has been poured out on Jesus. Think about that. God's wrath for the Christian, for the believer, you will never, ever experience the wrath of God. That's something I would never want to experience. That would be a terrible thing to experience. Amen? But for the Christian, for the believer, we will never, ever experience the wrath of God, because the wrath of God concerning our forgiveness and concerning now our place with him, that wrath which was just towards sin, right? It was just. Amen. Because everything about God is just, right? But that just wrath that was justified, that was poured out on Jesus. Are you saying Jesus experienced the wrath of God? Absolutely. He experienced the wrath of God, not that he deserved it. Can you fathom in your mind experiencing the wrath of God? But he experienced it, not just for something that he did or didn't do, but he experienced it for the entire human race. So it wasn't just the wrath that for his own, because he didn't do anything of himself. He experienced wrath for everybody that lived before he lived. Amen. And he experienced wrath for everybody that was going to come after he was born. And that wrath, it was poured out on the body of Jesus. That's why he was whipped the way that he was whipped. That's why he was crucified as a thief on that cross. Amen? Are you with me today?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. And so when we understand this new covenant of grace, we understand that God's wrath against our sin, it's been poured out on Jesus. And when we understand this, we'll stop mixing the old way of thinking, the old covenant, versus the new way of thinking, the new covenant. Amen? And sometimes we have this attitude, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, mixing the old with the new. Well, sometimes God's angry at me, sometimes he's not. Remember, grace isn't based upon your performance. That means then that God's anger toward you isn't based upon your performance anymore. Listen, you're going to screw up. He knew you were going to screw up. That's what makes grace grace. Amen? Sometimes God's with me. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he heals me. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he blesses my socks off. Sometimes I wish I had some socks. You just never know what he's going to do because he's so mysterious. No. What are you doing? When you say things like that, what you're doing is you're taking ideas and concepts and the law, the old covenant, and you're trying to bring it over into the new covenant, which is like oil and water, just doesn't quite mix. And so then that's why we come up with these ideas. Well, he heals this one, but he doesn't heal that one. I don't know why he healed this one over here, but he didn't heal that one back there. He must be a respecter of persons, and you just never know what's going to happen. He blessed that one with a new house, but this one's been living in that same old rundown shack for the past 50 years. Why? And they want one. And they even deserve it. They're good people. They deserve it. It's not based on how good they are. Amen? See, even the things that, you know, that we think that we're good and we think that we're doing all right, we're obeying everything that we think we should be doing. Why doesn't God do this for me? You know, I haven't done this. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't run around. I don't do all these things. But it just seems like nothing happened. Well, you still got an idea. You still got a concept there of an old way of thinking. It's not even based upon how good that you are. Can you see that? It is based upon the grace of God. So your goodness doesn't change it. Or your lack thereof doesn't change it. Amen? Grace levels the playing field. Amen. Oh, thank God for that. Yeah, you know, we need to settle this once and for all that God's not moody. He's not having a mood today. Well, he blesses me when he's in the mood for it. I don't know what kind of mood he's in. No, he's not moody. Some other people are moody. Maybe some people you know are moody. But he's not moody. He's not up one day and then down the next. His mood is always grace. His mood is always love. His mood is always favor. Yeah, but they really don't deserve it. That's what I'm talking about again today. Amen? He's still in a good mood. When you screw up, it doesn't change his mood. But that old covenant, that old law, that old way of doing things, it brings condemnation in. And so then it changes our mood. Let me walk around, you know. So unworthy. Yes, you are. So unworthy. The devil gets in there, he helps you out. Oh, you don't deserve that. That's right. You sure don't deserve that. Amen. And you give place to this condemnation, and it just keeps going over and over again. Then maybe after a while, you start feeling better because, you know, it's been a while now. So, right? So now you're paying your penance, and you're, you know, you're earning it back, and maybe his mood will change after a while. Then you can stick your head in the door and say, is it safe? Doesn't work that way with God. You can stick your head in the door anytime you want, and it's not going to get shot off. Remember those days when the cowboys did something wrong? They throw their hat in the door to see if mama would shoot at it or something. Huh? Did you ever do that with you, Linda? Did you ever throw your hat? Amen. To see if it's safe to go in there. Well, it's safe with him. It is safe for you to approach God. Because of the blood of Jesus, it is safe. Amen. We shouldn't believe mixed messages about the Father. Just because you have a thought, it doesn't mean it's a right thought. And just because you have a feeling, it doesn't mean that it's a right feeling. And just because you may have a mood, doesn't mean it's a right mood. Because moods change. Feelings change. Amen. Messages change. But the message doesn't change. Amen. When the Father tells us that it is his desire that we be healed in our bodies, then the devil's immediately going to come and he's going to tell you immediately, I mean right then, that you're not good enough. Oh yeah, I believe in healing. And there's a lot of people, because of the teaching of the word and so much has gone forth these days, a lot of people believe in some of these things now, which is wonderful, it's great, but they still don't believe in the righteousness of God and the grace of God. And they don't believe that they're good enough to receive of all of these things. Amen? When the Father tells us that he wants to pour out his favor upon our lives and bless us financially, the devil tells us that there's no way because we don't deserve that much blessing. Right? We have this idea, you know, when is the Father happy with me? Well, he's happy with me. He's pleased with me when I act right. And when the Father is angry at us, he's angry at us when we do something wrong and we sin. And people who believe this way, they are living bounce between old and new covenants, two different ways of thinking, two different understandings of things, right? And we shouldn't be bounced that way. Under the law, God demanded, you hear me now? Under the law, God demanded upon man strict obedience to the law, every detail of the law. He demanded that out of man, right? But under grace, everything depends upon Jesus and what he did for you and I. The law places demands on us, but it won't lift a finger to help. The law will place demands upon you, but it can't help you. Amen? But grace, one of the meanings of grace is to help. Grace comes to impart to us what Jesus did on our behalf because we couldn't do it alone. Amen? You ever notice this, especially concerning the law, the old covenant, law of Moses, that it was all based on you. Thou, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not, right? You shall not do this, you shall not do that. Right? You ever notice that? So then the law was directed at you. Thou shalt not. Amen? And the old covenant is full of things like that. It's full of stuff like that, right? Amen? But under the new covenant, it's different. Jesus did the thou shalt nots. Amen? And his thou shalt nots that he did got us credit on our behalf. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. All of the thou shalt nots, they did not provide a means for us to have a relationship with God again. Hebrews chapter 8 and New Living Translation, verse 7. We'll pick it up there. Hebrews 8, verse 7. It says, if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. See, even the Father knew. Right? But he was in a building phase. And he was already prophesying. The day is coming, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant. So I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is a new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. And I will forgive their wickedness. And I will never again remember their sins. When God speaks of a new covenant, it means that he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. The old covenant is kind of like that jug of milk that you've had in your refrigerator for the past month. Don't drink it. It might not taste too good. Amen. It is out of date. Out of date. Amen. The Message Bible puts it this way, and I'm going to pick this up in verse 6. It says, but Jesus' priestly work far surpasses what these other priests do. Since he's working from a far better plan, if the first plan, the old covenant, had worked out, a second wouldn't have been needed. But we know the first was found wanting because God said, heads up, the days are coming when I'll set up a new plan for dealing with Israel and Judah. I'll throw out the old plan and I'll set up with their ancestors when I led them by the hand of Egypt, or what I set up with them, led them out of the hand of Egypt. They didn't keep their part of the bargain, so I looked away and let it go. This new plan I'm making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper. It's going to be chiseled. It isn't going to be chiseled in stone. This time I'm writing out the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. They won't go to school to learn about me or buy a book called God and Five Easy Lessons. They'll all get to know me firsthand, the little and the big, the small and the great. They'll get to know me by being kindly forgiven, with the slate of their sins forever wiped clean. By coming up with a new plan, a new covenant between God and his people, God put the old plan on the shelf. And there it stays, gathering dust. Amen. Thank God for the new plan. I think new plans are better than old plans. God's new plan is far superior than the old plan. Here's the difference between the old covenant of law and the new covenant of grace. The old covenant of law is based on you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. The new covenant of God's amazing grace simply says, I will, I will, I will. Wow! That's amazing to me. And it's super clear then that the emphasis and the demand of the old covenant of the law is all based upon our performance, while the new covenant of grace is based upon Jesus' performance. Not based on your performance. He said, I will, I will, I will, because you couldn't do the I thou shalt not. Amen. Because Jesus already died on the cross for us, he has already done everything on our behalf. Christianity is done, done, done. It's not do, do, do. It's not works. Amen? It has been done. It is finished. It is complete. Jesus came and he established a new covenant of grace because we couldn't fulfill all of the dues. Amen? We couldn't fulfill all of the thou shalt nots, the don'ts. Just when we think that we're headed the right direction, not sinning, something happened, and we screwed the whole thing up. But here's something that we need to know. Jesus, he didn't screw anything up. Not one time did he screw up. He's not a screw up. He was perfect in all of his ways. And because he didn't screw up, the Father's not angry at us. Now, if he had screwed up, he'd still be angry. We'd still be offering up bulls and goats and all these other things. But he didn't. Amen? So then Jesus took the full brunt of all the Father's anger toward you. And everything that you did in your past, future, present time, anything. Jesus took that. Look at Isaiah. Now, before you go to Isaiah, look at 1 Peter. Let's look at this one first. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm glad he's not angry at me anymore. Amen. Aren't you glad God's not angry at you? He's not angry. Good news. 1 Peter 2:24, amplified. It says, he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as an altar and offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Now this healing, this applies spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Verse 25, it says, for you were going astray like so many sheep, but now you have come back to the shepherd and the guardian, the bishop of your souls. Amen. Peter was actually quoting Isaiah, so let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 53. And we'll pick it up in verse 3. Jesus experienced the punishment, the wrath for your sin. He took what you deserved. He didn't deserve it. You deserved it, but he took what you deserved. He died on your behalf. He took the wrath on your behalf. Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, he was despised and rejected. See, that should have been us. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. See, that's that old covenant law mindset, right? A punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. That's heavy. The sin of every man, woman, boy, and girl is laid upon Jesus. Amen? Not just those that have accepted his grace and have accepted his forgiveness, but even the sins of those that haven't not yet accepted it, that have rejected the Master and have rejected salvation. He bore that as well. Well, he had to. Just with the spark of hope that they might say yes. Amen. He took it all. Amen. What verse was that? Verse 6. He was oppressed, verse 7, and treated harshly. Yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. He was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him. Notice that. The Father loved the world so much that he gave Jesus so that he could crush him, sacrifice him, pour out his wrath, penalty of our sins upon him, so that through him we might be saved. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him, cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Notice that. When his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. See, no one would claim him then, right? Right? He will enjoy a long life, and all the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. You and I. Amen. Grace has imparted righteousness to the unrighteous. Grace has imparted right standing to those that were in wrong standing with God. Amen? You really don't want to be on the wrong side. But for a little while there, if you can just grasp this in your mind, Jesus was on the wrong side. He had to be. Not by what he did. Amen. So Jesus experienced the wrong side of God, so we don't have to experience the wrong side of God. One of the manifold reasons why Jesus cried out, you remember this, when he died on the cross, one of the reasons why he cried out, it is finished. You remember that? Yeah. Huh? It was because, one of the many reasons, was that the full anger, the full wrath of God was being poured out upon him, holy God. Amen? He took our beating. It is finished. Salvation is in the making here. There's hope again. Amen? One of the main reasons. You're still with me, right? One of the main reasons why people aren't receiving the way that they should be receiving is because we still believe one way or another, whether we would consciously be aware of it, but there's still residues of this, that God is still angry at us and we don't deserve some of these things that he desires to do for us. He's not angry at us anymore. Amen? So we shouldn't carry around guilt. Things that we've done in the past. Shouldn't carry around condemnation for things that we've done in the past. He was condemned. So we don't have to be condemned. Amen? 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 We've talked a little bit about this, and Ian even brought it up again. I guess it was Wednesday night. God's not this angry-faced being sitting on the throne, so displeased with humanity. He put up three different pictures of the Lord. You know, these kind of funny-looking old man, you know, old man, you know, long white hair, this type stuff. Just an angry look. But that's not God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Here's something we need to understand even about that. Because see, we've got this, still this old covenant way of thinking, even in regards of our vision of what we think the Father would look like. There's no old in heaven. There's no angry old men up there, and there's sure no old men up there. And there's no old women up there. I don't care how long your granny's been dead. Amen? She ain't dead anymore, and she ain't old. Aren't you glad? When you get there, you're not going to be old. See, this old age thing, that came in with the curse. Where the natural body begins to deteriorate. Now we use our faith then to temper that. Now you're not going to stop it. I don't care who you are. Amen? But you can use your faith to temper it. You can use your faith to hold it out there just as long as you can. Amen? My youth is renewed as the eagles. Praise God. My hair is not turning gray like John's. No condemnation there. I'm just messing. My youth is renewed. Amen. Full of strength. Amen. 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 This helping you today? Yes. Galatians, let's look at it. We quoted it or talked about it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. I'll cut you loose in just a second. Galatians 3, verse 10, New Living Translation, it says, "But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, 'Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law.' So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law." Notice that. "For the scriptures say, 'It is through faith that a righteous person has life.' This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says, 'It is through obeying the law that a person has life.' But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." Amen. If you're brave enough, you should read all of this in the Message Bible as well. That is so good there. Praise God. God to the believer is not wrath. He's grace. He's love to us. Amen. We see God being angry in the Old Testament. And we see God being angry. We see the wrath of God being poured out there in Revelation, right? But that is toward those that have rejected Jesus, that have rejected his salvation plan, right? And have rejected his grace. But for you and me who have received Jesus, we will never, ever, ever, never, ever, never experience the wrath of God. He's not going to give you lickings. Even though we deserve them sometimes. And we do. But it's his grace that enables us to receive forgiveness through the blood of Jesus when we do sin. And when we do mess up, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. Amen? And just when you think he's going to go get the stick to give you lickings, you remember, you already licked Jesus. He took the lickings for you. Amen? Little boys, and you do stuff as kids, and remember getting in trouble and doing stuff with my little brother. Of course, I was the smarter one. I was the older one, right? And so then nobody really kind of rat people out, and so somebody was going to get lickings one way or another. Sometimes the wrong one would get it, and we would just keep our mouth quiet. He did it! Amen? But Jesus, he took it. He took sickness and disease. And he gave us life and health through his grace. See, he took all poverty and all lack. So you cannot put a financial amount on the prosperity that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. It's not based on financial amounts. Whatever it is that you need, right? We have a supply for that. He took poverty. Amen. He became poor. He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve the poverty. We don't deserve the prosperity. But that's just the way that it is. Amen. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is truly amazing, that it is truly sufficient for all of us. Actually, Lord, it is even beyond sufficient. It is more than sufficient. It is more than enough. More than we will ever need. Thank you, Father, for a revelation of Jesus today.